please vote to signify presence. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows all senators present this morning.
Will we stand for the invocation? Rabbi Plotnick.
Let us pray. Psalm 100, David's good upbeat way to start the week. Shout unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us. We are his people and the flock of his pasture. Enter unto his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and bless his name. The Lord's good. His mercy endureth forever, and his faithfulness unto all generations. Amen.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent to spread on the journal.
So ordered. It's good to see you this morning, Mr. Plotnick. Mr. Plotnick. Secretary certifies correctness of the journal.
I wish to certify, excuse me about that one. I wish to certify as to correctness of the journals for the 145th, 146th, and 147th legislative days.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move the journals for the 145th, 146th, and 147th day be approved as certified.
Objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning.
There are messages from the House.
Message of June 11, the House passed the following in return. Senate Joint Resolution Number 21, amended, relating to the use of Lake Grace, an area within the Misty Fjords National Monument for the generation of hydroelectric power for the Ketchikan area. CS for Senate Bill Number 13, Judiciary, relating to the crime of arson in the first degree. Senate Bill Number 231, extending the life of the parole board. These have been sent to enrolling. Message of June 11. The House passed Senate Bill Number 97, Supplemental Appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for payment as a grant to Bethel Social Services Incorporated with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill Number 97, Hess, and return for consideration.
Senate Bill 97 is amended by the House. Senator.
Mr. President, I would move that we concur in the amendments to House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 97 Hess.
The question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 97? I recommend that we support the House amendments. You may proceed to vote. All members of the Senate voted.
Senator Ferguson.
Senator Ferguson. All members of the Senate voted, he has voted. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas and one absent. One excused.
The Senate has concurred in the House amendments. You may proceed.
June 11, the House passed. CS for sponsors.
You have the floor, Senator. Are you seeking the floor?
Mr. President, there is an immediate effective date.
Effective date clause, Senator.
Mm-hmm. Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the effective date clause, that the vote on the concurrence be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Objection is ordered. Thank you, Senator Halford. Secretary, please proceed.
The House passed. CS for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 165, rules amended, racing events on public highways with the following amendment. House CS for CS for SS for SB 165, transportation, and return for consideration.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move the Senate concur in the amendments to House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 165, transportation.
Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendment to Senate Bill 165. You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
The Senate has concurred. You may proceed, Secretary.
Message of June 11, the House passed Senate Bill 190, making special appropriation for payments as grants for the Wrangell Totem Poles and Chief Shakes Island Preservation and Restoration Project and for the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation Language and Cultural Studies Program effective date with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill Number 190, finance and return for consideration.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I move the Senate concur and the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 190, finance.
Question is, shall the Senate concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill 190? You may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary will close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, one absent.
Senate has concurred. Senator Ray.
Move that the vote on the concurrence be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there further messages from the House?
Those are the messages from the House today.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
Are there reports of standing committees?
Finance considered. Senate Bill Number 78, making the Public Employment Relations Act applicable to employees of school districts. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senators Vic Fisher and Josephson signed do pass. Senators Fakes and Sackett signed do not pass. Senator Mulcahy signed do not pass unless amended. Senator Ferguson signed no recommendation. SB 78 has no further referral.
Where is the referral? No further referral. Rules Committee.
The Resources Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution Number 37 amended, Economic Development Policy, and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Farenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Drzewiecki, Ziegler, Mulcahy, and Paul Fisher. HCR 37 has a further referral to Finance. State Affairs considered CS for House Bill Number 209, Rules, Classification of Personnel, and recommends that it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Sturgalewski, Rohde, and Ray. House Bill 209 has a further referral to Finance. Resources considered CS for House Bill Number 271, Finn, Appropriation to the Agricultural Action Council, making special appropriations to and for the operation of the Alaska Grain Reserve Loan Fund. Senator Farenkamp, Chairman, and Senators Drzewiecki and Paul Fisher signed do pass. Senators Mulcahy and Ziegler signed no recommendation. House Bill 271 has a further referral to Finance. State Affairs considered CS for House Bill Number 323, Finn Am, Residency and Residency Requirements, and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, and Senators Drzewiecki and Rohde signed do pass. House Bill 323 has a further referral to Judiciary. Health, Education, and Social Services considered committee substitute for House Bill Number 352, HESS, Definition of Death. Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, and Senators Josephson, Moss, and Hofford signed do pass. Senator Paul Fisher signed no recommendation. House Bill 352 has a further referral to Judiciary. Health, Education, and Social Services considered CS for House Bill Number 357, Rules, Regulation of Religious Schools, and recommends it be replaced with a Senate Committee Substitute. Senator Josephson, Chairman, and Senators Hofford and Moss signed do pass. Senator Fisher signed, Vic Fisher signed no recommendation. Senator Paul Fisher recommended the adoption of the original committee substitute, the original House bill. House Bill 357 has a further referral to Finance. Health, Education, and Social Services considered House Bill Number 403, amended Insurance Trade Practices, and recommends be replaced with a Senate Committee Substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Vic Fisher, Paul Fisher, Moss, and Hofford. House Bill 403 has a further referral to Finance. The Rules Committee considered CS for SS for House Bill Number 381, Resources, Wholesale Prices for Salmon, and recommends that it be put on a supplemental calendar June 13. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senator Ray and Senator Kelly. This does appear on today's supplemental calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
Are the reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Will the Secretary read Senate Bill 156?
Senate Bill Number 156, an act by Senator Eliason, an act relating to the sale or lease of state hatchery facilities. The Resources Committee considered this bill and recommends to be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Mulcahy, and Ziegler. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends to be replaced with the committee substitute Finance. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senators Josephson, Mulcahy, and Fake signed no recommendation. Senator Vic Fisher and Senator Sackett signed do pass. The Rules Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute rules with a new title and calendar June 13. Signed, Senator Fakes, chairman, concurring Senators Ray and Kelly. There are three committee substitutes.
Rules chairperson.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 156 be adopted.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 156, Rules by the Rules Committee, an act relating to the sale, lease, or grant of state hatchery facilities.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
In the absence of amendments, Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for Senate Bill 156, Rules be considered in gross advance third reading in place of final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill in third reading.
CS for Senate Bill number 156, Rules, an act relating to the sale, lease, or grant of state hatchery facilities.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Eliason has the floor.
Mr. President, briefly, this bill is enabling legislation which would allow the Department of Fish and Game or the state at some future date to allow the leasing, selling, or granting of state's hatcheries. There's some concern that's been expressed by the fishing industry that now that we're into a limitation on spending and the oil revenues have decreased somewhat, that the fate of some of the hatcheries in the state, whether or not the state will be able to operate them, and that decision has not been made at the present time. However, if in fact some of these hatcheries are going to be closed down for lack of operational expenses, this would allow the state to dispose of them or else lease them for aquaculture associations to operate during that period.
I would wish the Special Fisheries Committee to check the biology problem, and that's this. As you know, both in the hatcheries in Matanuska and in Petersburg, we did have a problem with the red salmon, and the red salmon were destroyed for that particular period. There's a lot of problems, and the banker's looking at you whether to put out infected fish or not. You want to be very careful of that. You want a real good inspection program when you transfer these facilities. And I think the Special Fisheries Committee ought to do that work for us for next session so you have reasonable, non-bureaucratic control and the public interest is protected. Thank you very much. Is there further debate? The question is, shall Senate Bill 156 be adopted? Any amendments? Anybody wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas and one absent.
Senate Bill 156 passed the Senate. Next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 266. Senator Ruth, chairperson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 266, 264, and Senate Bill 154 be returned to the Rules Committee.
Objection.
264 and 266 are duplicated by House Bills 321 and 322 that are now in Senate Transportation, and I understand that they'll be moving out this week. And on 154, I have the permission from the prime sponsor to do some additional work and rules on that bill. I ask unanimous consent, Mr. President.
They are returned to rules. The next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 281. Secretary Reed, House Bill 281.
CS for House Bill number 281, LNC, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to the payment of wages. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Mulcahy, Sackett, and Rohde. There is an amendment number one by Senator Vic Fisher.
Is there a committee substitute to be adopted?
The committee substitute is a House committee substitute.
Thank you very much. Senator Fisher, for your amendment.
I move and ask unanimous consent amendment number one be adopted.
Does everyone have amendment number one? Excuse me. There's no objection to adopt. There's objection. Do you wish to speak to your amendment, Senator Fisher?
I'll withdraw it.
objection has been withdrawn. Are there further objections? Amendment has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Absence of further amendments, Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 281.
Helen C. The advance of third reading placed on final passage.
Not objection.
As amended, excuse me.
Not objection. Secretary, read the bill on third reading.
CS for House Bill number 281, LNC, amended Senate, an act relating to the payment of wages.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. Is there debate? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question is, shall House Bill 281 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 18 yeas, 1 nays, 1 absent.
281 has been adopted by the Senate as amended. Secretary, read House Bill 274.
House Bill number 274, an act relating to the regulation of public utilities and providing for an effective date, was read the second time on Friday.
Was the bill held in second reading?
The bill was held in second reading, and there are no
amendments.
There are no amendments.
I'm having an amendment handed out.
Is it extensive?
No.
You may proceed while they're distributing the amendment unless there's objection from the floor.
Mr. President?
There is objection. Senator Ray, we'll stand at ease till we pass the amendment out. The bill is in second reading. Amendment has been proposed. Did you move the amendment, Senator Fisher?
Mr. President, I move the amendment.
I object. Senator Fisher has the floor.
Mr. President, the purpose of the amendment is to make it easier to obtain regulation of a cable television system by reducing the present requirement of the proposed requirement of 25% to 10%, and then it further provides that subscribers of the utility, a list of the subscribers shall be made available, and the purpose of that is so the petitioners know how many subscribers they are and how to get hold of them.
Commerce Chairperson?
Mr. President, I object to the amendment because of the fact that we did have a hearing on this. We had a teleconference. We talked directly with the commissioner, with both commissioners in Anchorage at that particular time. This bill has been thoroughly reviewed by the committee and the other House, and I certainly wouldn't disagree with part of the amendment. However, I think at this late date, it's best that we pass the bill without unamended back to the House.
Senator Moss?
Mr. President, I would say the same thing, because I think this bill should move on out without any amendments, and that's the quickest way to do it, and I would also object to the amendment.
Mr. President.
Senator Victor Fisher does have the floor.
In view of the objection by the Chairman of Labor and Commerce, I'll withdraw the amendment.
The amendment has been withdrawn. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
In the absence of further amendments.
Move the letter of intent.
Senator Ray, do we have the letter of intent? I don't seem to have it, Secretary of the Senate. I don't know it. You have the floor, Senator Ray. You moved it.
I moved the letter of intent, yes, sir.
As you ask consent for adoption.
I do.
The objection, letter of intent has been adopted. Senator Ray?
Now I move and ask
consent that House Bill 274 be advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Being no objection. Read the bill. Third reading.
House Bill number 274,
an act relating to regulation of public utilities and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion and debate. You have the floor, Commerce Chairman.
Mr. President, this bill was introduced at the request of the Alaska Public Utility Commission. If this bill is not passed this year, that the cable television will come under regulation by the APUC, and under the trial period they've had over these past 2 years. They believe things are working well in that particular area, and they have protection which they would have under allowing them a certificate to operate. The only regulation would not be able to have at that, if this bill is not passed, is to regulate the rates. It is supported by Public Utility Commission, and I urge passage.
Senator Joseph has the floor.
For the record, and if I'm wrong, I hope the chairman will correct me, I understand that this would not affect the municipality's right to require certain types of cooperation or interaction on the rights of way, planning, and that kind of thing. In other words, the exemption applies to rate and service regulation, not the interaction between municipal rights of way and the cable company. Is that correct?
That is correct, Senator.
Yeah, the floor rules, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just for some further clarification, that's why the letter of intent. The municipality wasn't quite sure of that, and they requested that letter of intent, as did the Anchorage Community College. The prime sponsor of the bill in the other body approved that also.
Senator Bejon has the floor.
Mr. President, I have an inquiry here for anybody who is knowledgeable enough about the bill or subject matter to respond, and that is that if this bill were to pass, what is the practical effect with regard to the ability of a potential provider of cable television service in an individual area to enter and compete with an existing service that is providing cable television to a community? I don't know, and I ask if anyone here could answer that question.
There's a question. Thomas, Chairperson.
Mr. President, as I understand it, that the Alaska Public Utility Commission do grant them authority to come into communities, and even after the authority has been granted, they have the ability to come in at a later date, and we redraft their certificate to comply with public convenience. So I assume that they would have also had authority to act on applicant for maybe two stations in one area.
You have the floor, Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, this bill does not change the status quo.
Question is, shall House Bill 274 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? All members voted. Does any member desire to change their vote? Secretary, close roll.
Roll shows 18 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 274 has been adopted. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill 274 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Effective date clause has been adopted without objection. Next item on the data calendar is House Concurrent Resolution 2.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 2 by Representatives Drusendorf and Fritz relating to travel by senior citizens aboard vessels of the State Marine Highway System. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and recommends it be replaced with the Senate Committee substitute and do pass, signed Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Rowe and Ray and Rody. Wrong with that one.
Several members on time. House Concurrent Resolution 2 has been read. Do you have the reports all read?
No. The Finance Committee also considered this resolution and recommends that the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted with a new title. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Josephson and Vic Fisher. Senators Mulcahy, Bakes, Ferguson, and Sackett signed no recommendation. There is a Senate Committee substitute.
You have the floor, Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted.
Without objection. Is there objection to the State Affairs Committee substitute?
No, Mr. President, I have objection.
You object, Senator Ray?
Yes, sir.
There's objection. There's Senator Mulcahy was seeking for. What was your question, sir?
I just wanted to brief at ease.
We're at ease. Senator Ray, you objected.
The only objection I have, Mr. President, is to again notify the body that there is a title change, but it does not apply when there is a resolution other than a joint resolution. And also, I would like now to move and ask unanimous consent to adopt the letter of intent.
We are, we had a motion of adoption of the committee substitute. Perhaps it's not appropriate to drop the letter of intent until the committee substitute's adopted, Senator.
I hear, Mr. President, I thought we'd adopted, Senator.
There's no objection. The committee substitute has now been adopted. It will require a title change. Acknowledgement. Senator Gilman was seeking the floor.
Mr. President, I don't seem to have a copy of the letter of intent. Is it in the report?
In our packet.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Committee substitute has been adopted. Are there amendments? Lacking amendments, is there a title change that needs to be acknowledged? Without objection. And there is a letter of intent. Everyone read the letter of intent.
Move the letter of intent, Mr. President.
Thank you. Without objection, the letter of intent has been adopted. House concurrent resolution.
Move the resolution, Mr. President.
Without objection, the question is, shall the resolution, HCR 2, be adopted by the Senate? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
HCR 2 has been adopted. The next item on the daily calendar are citations. Secretary, read the citations. You have the floor, Senator.
I'd like to take up the reconsideration of committee substitute for House Bill 163 at this time.
Your reconsideration was given and it is noted, and Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS 4CS for House Bill number 163, Judiciary, an act relating to harassment of persons lawfully engaged in hunting, fishing, camping, or trapping.
The bill is before you for debate. You have the floor, Senator Helfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 163 be returned to second reading for a purpose of specific amendment.
Without objection, the specific amendment is before us.
Amendment number.
Do you wish to move the amendment?
I move amendment number one and ask unanimous consent.
Objection, no. Senator Helfer, the other floor. Everyone has the amendment, so I don't ask that it be read.
Okay. Mr. President, the amendment deletes the section on the order to desist. The way the bill reads now, it's a separate violation to fail to obey an order by an officer. And that officer can issue the order if the officer has probable cause to believe that a person intends to engage. And that's a very tenuous line, particularly when it's a separate violation. And the penalty for violation of that is 90 days or $1,000, when the penalty for violation of the actual law is 30 days or $500. The first section of the bill provides the major change, and the last section of the bill provides for civil remedies, both of which I agree with. But I think we're extending ourselves way too far into the area of the discretion of the individual officer with this section, and the amendment deletes the section.
Senator Joseph?
President, I would normally have the same concerns, but as I recall the testimony in the Judiciary Committee, and we saw exhibits to this effect, there are some groups which, at least in other states, have actually, by pamphlets and brochures and letters to their members, urged people to amass in areas where there was hunting to which these groups objected. As a way of thwarting a kind of demonstration to prevent hunting and fishing activities in areas where these individuals thought no activities should take place in spite of an organized regulatory system that allowed limited hunting or fishing. And I think the amendment would require us to allow to watch those groups amass and actually interfere before they could be stopped. And I have some concerns about the amendment because of that. The legislative history before the Judiciary Committee indicated that this is a growing problem in the country, the kind of thing that happens in nuclear demonstrations, or anti-nuclear demonstrations and other things. But it would be difficult to protect hunters lawfully exercising their rights if you had to wait for the first breach of order to take place. And that's the reason why I think this amendment perhaps should not be adopted.
Senator Fisher?
President, I have a question of Senator Josephson or anyone else if they're willing to answer. And
you're speaking to the amendment?
I'm speaking to the amendments, Mr. President. What exactly would it require to fulfill the term has probable cause to believe that the person intends to engage in such conduct? What is probable cause and intent in this case? What would it take to establish that?
Resource or chairperson?
Mr. President, probable cause would be is if there is a massing, say, of a number of people in an area that's being opened for fishing the following day, and those people amass there for the express purposes of making noises, running off the game, this kind of stuff, so that they can prevent the hunting the next day. There are pamphlets that go out in advance warning people in it, inviting them to be there, and this kind of thing. That's what's happened in the lower 48 today.
Senator Halford,
you propose the amendment. Of course, I agree with the desire of this bill to stop that kind of activity, but I think it's covered under civil remedies where it states that a person aggrieved by conduct in violation of the statute or threatened with such conduct may petition the court to enjoin the respondent from engaging in such conduct. If you've got any kind of activity where they're actually massing to do something like this, it would seem that you wouldn't have too much trouble in going to the courts and stopping it that way. The language in the section that I deleted could have been done a little differently, and I wouldn't have the objection that I have. But because it's late in the session, I do want this bill to pass. I think it's addressing something that's worthwhile. Rather than try and rewrite that language, I offered an amendment to delete that section.
Senator Ray has the floor.
President, I think possibly on reflection here that the amendment goes farther than I would like it to go. I wouldn't mind if the amendment started on line 29, starting with a new sentence on line 29, and eliminates the first five lines on page 2. In effect, what this would do, it would charge the enforcement officer or the investigative officer to order the person to desist from the violations that set up above, and it would not set out an additional penalty. It would still, if they didn't do it, they would be in violation of 1605-925.
Do you wish to speak to that question, Senator Halford?
Through the floor, through the chair,
through the floor.
Would the gentleman like for me to repeat that? If we start with line 24 on page 1, we have the instructions to the enforcement or investigative officer who shall order a person to desist from violation of the section that precedes it, starting on line 10. And if we eliminate the additional language starting on line 29, starting the officer shall inform the person of the penalties set out in B, that's eliminating the second penalty or the double jeopardy, and it still allows the enforcement officer to order these people to cease and desist.
That's a suggestion as an amendment?
That's a suggestion, yes, sir.
Senator Pettijohn is seeking the floor. Senator Halford?
Mr. President, I have no problem with doing it that way. I think that reaches the same thing. It's a double penalty and a separate violation that I have the problem with. If the body would want to take it at ease, if that's
we'll
the
stand at ease
will of the body,
and prepare
I'd
it properly.
Would whoever's going to be doing this should look on page 2, line 7, because it refers to 16.
Senator Bennett, did you want to report under unfinished business? Did you want to report on the progress of the budget?
Yes, Mr. President. Thank you. The computer punch-ins and what have you, not expected to have the bill out until 5 o'clock or after. And if there's any manual input that's required, it's going to take it quite far into the evening. The Finance Committee still plans on meeting at 4:30, taking up the appropriation bill. and we hope to get to the budget document later tonight. But I would suggest that we adjourn the session for today and try it again tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Senator Ray?
Move the Senate adjourn until 10 a.m. June 14th.
In the at ease, it was stated that if we took out simply the suggested language by the majority floor leader, we would end up with a situation where you'd have to issue an order before you could issue a citation or some interpretations that might reach that. So the amendment is basically to delete the section and delete the references to the section.
There isn't a Senator Ray.
Mr. President, the concerns of as I remember them in judiciary, the concerns were that if the people were attempting to gather to make some kind of a public showing, conservation groups, environmental groups, such as been done, that is the reason for Section 1605926, in order to notify them. But they put the additional penalty on, and that the penalty would carry over to Section 1, the way it's written, and that would make it double jeopardy or two penalties for the same offense. But the idea of Section 1605926 is to warn or forewarn people in public, not somebody that's out in the woods or somebody that is engaged in something and come up and say, hey, stop that or we're going to give you a citation. It's to forestall or forewarn the people so that they won't have the problem more or less in mass congregations or multiple groups.
There isn't. Before us at this time, let me rule on this. Before us at this time, I'm going to ask Senator Helfrich to withdraw Amendment 1. I will rule, if that's what you wish to do, and I will rule that this other amendment is still a specific amendment, so we're still in second reading. Please, you have the floor, Senator Helfrich.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Amendment Number 1 be withdrawn.
Without objection. You move Amendment 2.
Mr. President, I move Amendment Number 2.
Amendment 2 is before us. Senator Joseph, you were seeking the floor.
The amendment be read.
Secretary, read the amendment in context, if possible.
Amendment Number 2 by Senator Halford, page 1, line 24 through page 2, line 5. Delete all of 1605926. Then on page 2, what has been added, on line 7 and line 10, delete the reference to 1605926. This totally deletes that section, Mr. President.
You're speaking to the amendment?
I am. I oppose the amendment, Mr. President, and let me say why. I think that there is an implication here that section 926 is either redundant or duplicative of 925 or contains criminal penalties that would be imposed upon someone whose attitude may be misunderstood. That isn't true, because if I read this correctly, what happens is that the criminal penalties in Part B only come about, and it's a misdemeanor penalty, if the person violates the order of the officer. It isn't that one who is believed by the officer with probable cause to be intending to engage in such conduct is ipso facto, is by that belief subjected to misdemeanor penalties. It is only after an order has been issued based on that belief, which the individual disobeys, that the individual becomes susceptible to misdemeanor penalties. Now, Mr. President, if this amendment is not adopted, there is at the desk another amendment, which I would ask the Senate to consider by reverting to second reading, which would make it clear that the probable cause determination would have to be based upon overt actions or preparations of the individual being scrutinized by the officer, rather than some subjective mental impression of the officer based perhaps on the appearance of the individual or something like that. So I think that the concern about this is perhaps excessive, and that it is not the kind of criminal prosecution which an officer could abuse. He would first have to issue an order to the individual who is ultimately charged with a misdemeanor.
Question is, shall the amendment be adopted? You have the floor, Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I would just like to ask a question of one of our members with the bar. If an officer issues an order, and the order says, stop this activity. The individual goes ahead and conducts whatever his activity is that he was ordered to stop doing. He is charged with a violation of the order of the officer. He's also charged with a violation of the unlawful harassment. If he goes to court and he is found innocent of unlawful harassment, can he still be found guilty of violating the order of an officer when, in fact, that order is on something that he wasn't guilty of?
You have the floor.
I'm trying to think of that situation, and it seems to me that would be an inconsistent verdict to acquit him of the activity, but to find him guilty of violating the order. I don't see how a jury could reach that result. But it is true that a jury could convict him of both counts for the same act, but that is not particularly unusual in the criminal law, that one action could give rise to two counts.
Senator Pettyjohn.
Mr. President, I would respond to the question from the senator from East Anchorage in the affirmative. I believe that it is possible, under the way this bill is written and without this amendment, that a person can be charged with two counts, one, harassing those engaged in camping or fishing or whatever, and secondly, with refusing to oblige to comply with an order to desist in such activity. And I certainly can imagine circumstances where you could be acquitted on one, that is, acquitted on harassing, hunting, camping, or fishing, in the sense that perhaps your efforts were unsuccessful. That is, your attempts to interfere with someone's hunting are unsuccessful. But nonetheless, you are convicted of violating an order to desist. I would like to further state, Mr. President, that as a member of the Judiciary Committee which considered this, it is my clear recollection that this language with regard to probable cause, intention to engage, and so forth, was the intention of myself, at least, and I believe the entire committee, to have that language deleted. The amendment by the senator from East Anchorage accomplishes what I was concerned with in reviewing this bill in a simpler manner, and I urge its adoption.
Senator Ray?
President, again, I think we're going to have to approach this in a different light than what we have been. I think that this proposal, this proposed bill, has a twofold approach. One is to tell somebody, don't do these things if there is a large group, and to warn them, and then if they do it, then they are subject to a penalty. The other is if an enforcement officer comes upon somebody that is already doing it out in the field, he can arrest them immediately. So it really has a twofold approach. One is more or less to warn a public group that whatever environmental association, whatever. Perhaps we should, maybe we could approach it a little bit different, just to throw it out to the body here. Maybe in the second section, if we left that in there and said, instead of having him shall order a person to desist from violation, he may order a person to desist from violation. In other words, give him the, so that if he wants to, just stand there and watch the people until they commit the violation in 925, he can do it. Or he can warn them. And if he warns them ahead of time, I can't really believe that there would be a court that would charge a person with attempting to or violating the orders of an officer and then go ahead and then prosecute him or attempt to prosecute him under knowingly doing it. I don't believe that they would do that. They would charge him under one or the other, I believe.
Senator Victor Fisher.
This is in part to the amendment, maybe goes slightly beyond, but it does pertain to the amendment. The references keep being made to group as if sort of implying that this would apply in case of a conspiracy among people to do something. However, the bill is written in application to a person, and I was wondering if some of this might not be resolved if it were much more specifically directed toward the kind of concern that some of the senators have spoken to.
Senator Joseph, are you seeking comment?
Well, just let me say a word.
Please, gentlemen.
I think to bring this discussion into focus, I agree that Senator Pettyjohn has probably come up with the one incident and where you might not have an inconsistent verdict in responding to Senator Halford's question. There might be one other possibility, which is that a jury could find that there was harassment, but that the officer did not make an order or issue an order as he claims he did, and that could be another situation. I don't really think that those are major problems. I would like to preserve the section because I do not think we should simply put the burden on the hunter or fisherman or people concerned with those activities to go to court and get injunctions. I think that's not reasonable. I do not have a problem that one act could lead to two counts. I do not feel that a judge or a charging party or prosecutor would have to or should have to elect between these charges. Done that, you ought to be susceptible to prosecution for both reasons, because it's worse to do the harassment after you've been ordered not to. So I don't have any difficulty with that. I think that the bill should not be drastically changed, but if people have concern about probable cause, we should require some overt showing that justifies the order's impression.
Judiciary Chairman.
President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 163, Judiciary, be returned to Judiciary Committee.
Without objection, I think we've put enough time to debate today in that matter.
With the leave of the Vice Chair.
Mr. President, I consent to that.
Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citations honoring international organizations.
Senator Moss, are you seeking the floor?
Yes, sir. President, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor on the International Organization of Masters, Mates, and Pilots citation.
No objection. Please read the citations.
Citations honoring international organization of masters, mates, and pilots in Inland Boatman's Union by Senator Ziegler, Ray, Krutula, Vic Fisher, and Moss. Honoring Mark Leavitt by Senators Gilman and Paul Fisher.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, before the motion is made to adopt, I'd just like to remark on the Mark Leavitt citation. Many times we wonder if certain things that we do have any benefit. And this young man took in school a fire safety course and very, very shortly afterwards saved his sister's life by applying what he had learned in that course, and again, he's only 7 years old.
Amazing. Senator Ray, do you wish to move the citation calendar?
Move the citation calendar to be adopted as read.
Objection, so ordered. Senator Ray?
Move the supplemental calendar to be adopted.
Without objection. Supplemental calendar has been adopted. Secretary, read the bill. House Bill 381.
CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 381, Resources, by the Resources Committee, an act relating to wholesale prices for salmon and providing for an effective date. The Resources Committee waived. Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman. Concurring, Senators Mulcahy, Josephson, Vic Fisher, Sackett, and Fakes.
Are there amendments?
There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Mulcahy. Page 4, line 10. After the word information insert, including the consideration of various types and amounts of discounts allowed in the calculation of wholesale prices.
Senator Mulcahy.
Mr. President, I'd move the amendment. The reason behind this amendment, Mr. President, is when we went forward with the House bill rather than the Senate version. We thought it was identical to the Senate bill. It was only later that we discovered that this language, which had been put in Senate Resources, wasn't in the bill, and it's felt by the resource chairman that it should be, and I certainly concur with that. I'd ask unanimous consent.
What objection? The amendment's been adopted. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
The absence of further amendments under A.
Well, before I get any further, Mr. President, I wonder if somebody could just tell me what this all means.
I really second don't... reading.
I'd like the possible amendment, yeah.
Possible amendment suggestion, Senator Mulcahy. Do you wish the floor to explain this bill?
Well, Mr. President, what this bill does is require the processors that handle canned salmon to report twice a year, semi-annually, to the department. The bill now covers all salmon that's canned rather than just pink salmon, as has been in the past. It lays out the units of sale as being in conjunction with the what's called the 1 pound tall case 48. The department will then publish a monthly and annual unit case price on canned salmon, Mr. President, and shall report to the legislature on the 15th day of what that statewide wholesale price is. It changes the existing penalty by law, which is $5,000 for not complying with the statute, to $50 a day, or the department may charge $50 a day. The definitions cover the meaning of affiliation of a processor, control the department, meaning Department of Revenue. The repealer on it, which is Section 2, Mr. President, repeals the existing statute dealing with the report of salmon prices. Section 3 requests or has the Department of Commerce, in conjunction with limited entry in the Department of Revenue, conduct some studies during the interim and report back to the legislature. Next session, Mr. President. But I don't understand where the state is getting into to asking what the wholesale price of fish is. Is that a state function? I mean, is it because of loans, or is it because of salmon quality? I don't see anything like that, but I just wonder what is the reasoning behind getting this, if it's going to be confidential information as far as individual processors are concerned, but the public can have the information on a broad structure, but not on particular fish processor. I don't see the need for this stuff, and if somebody could tell me, I'd appreciate it.
Research and chairperson, you're right.
Mr. President, the intent of this bill is to enable the fishermen and the processors to negotiate fish prices based on a figure which represents the market value of the product and the current market situation. It's intended to aid in the early adoption of price settlements for the benefit of Senator from Juneau.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Bill 381, as amended, pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members voted?
Objection.
We did not rise it. I apologize. I did. Senator Ray.
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 381. Resources be advanced third reading, place the final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. I apologize. I was thinking we had full debate. Secretary, we did.
CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 381, Resources, amended Senate, an act relating to wholesale prices for salmon and providing for an effective date.
Bill is before you for discussion debate.
Question
is, shall House Bill 381 amended pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 3 absent.
Bill has been adopted, Senator Ray.
Unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 381 resources be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date has been adopted. Are there unfinished business this morning? Senator Gilman.
I'd like to serve notice of my reconsideration on the concurrence vote on Senate Bill 165, committee substitute for sponsor substitute to Senate Bill 165.
Reconsideration. Finished business?
Unfinished business. I'd request a waiver of Rule 23, the 5-day notice section for Senate Concurrent Resolution 30 relating to traffic control measures on the Glen and Palmer Wasilla highways and Evergreen Street in Matanuska, Wasilla Borough. Nasty now.
Without objection. Are there an announcement of committee meetings this morning? Senator Moss?
Mr. President, since we do have the authorization now to waive the 5-day notice section on SCR 30 relating to traffic control measures on the Glen Palmer Wasilla highways, we will hold that bill tomorrow at 1:30 in the Buttrovich room, and there will also be a hearing on HB 321, HB 322. I think we'll have a subcommittee report on those two bills, and I'd like to move them out.
Senator Joseph, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I saw you at the corner of my eye resting. Senator Ferguson.
Senator Ferguson, meet today at 12:50 p.m. Bills will be posted.
Finance Chairman.
Requesting unanimous consent to waive the 5-day rule reference to Senate Bill 314. That bill is reference to the appropriation for the operation of the legislature. The Finance Committee will take it up this afternoon at 3:30. Also, we would like to waive the referral of House Bill 357, an act relating to religious schools.
Objection.
Regulation of religious schools.
Senator Joseph, you're seeking floor with apologies.
Mr. President, there will be a leadership caucus tomorrow prior to the daily calendar.
After we come into session, there is just too much going on this afternoon now. Is there further announcements in the committee meetings? Resources, Chairperson.
Mr. President, this afternoon at 3, Resources Committee will be continuing with the homestead bills and permit reform.
Commerce Chairman.
Mr. President, tomorrow, Commerce Committee will hold a meeting at 1:30 in Belts. House Bill 62 relating to use of public money for payment of non-residents, House priority. House Bill 126 relating to limiting liability of aircraft owners and injured passengers, House priority. Committee of Subs to House Bill 210 amended relating to payment for purchase by the state, House priority.
Are there items under special orders? Senator Ray.
I would move and ask unanimous consent we recess to 4:30 p.m. for a skeleton session.
Approximately 4:30.
Yep.
Without objection, just for bringing cross legislation, there'll be no transactions.